Pastor Drew and Pastor Tamara, it's such a great joy to be here with you and at Hope Community. I just have sensed the presence of the Lord from the moment that I arrived, and I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for your partnership for Teen Challenge. Amen. You're helping us to transform lives of individuals and families and communities here and around the world. Because Teen Challenge is also vitally connected with other Teen Challenge works in other nations. That God has used Southern California Teen Challenge to be a big part of. And so when you bless us, you're blessing the world. And so thank you. Thank you, Hope Community Church, for your faithfulness and for your generosity to help us to keep making a difference. We have Teen Challenge now in 125 nations of the world. And this ministry started in 1958, 60 years ago in New York City. And God knew when David Wilkerson went to New York and he started Teen Challenge, he went there to minister some gang members that were on trial. He never really got a chance to effectively minister to them because God had another plan. And he started ministering to disaffected youth on the streets of New York City. And the Teen Challenge was actually born and birthed on the streets of New York. At that time, 25% of all the drug addicts in the United States lived in New York City. And he had no clue, he had no idea, but statistics show that 25% of all the people in the whole United States that used drugs lived in New York. So God knew that that was going to be the birthplace of Teen Challenge. And now all these years later, still making a difference. Praise God. When you walk in the prophetic grace and the prophetic anointing of God and he leads you by his spirit, he leads you into the adventures and miracles that he has already foreordained. That's what Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says, that we're God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works that God foreordained that we would walk in. And so God had foreordained this work. That Teen Challenge would begin there. And so I'm so grateful to be a part of this ministry and to be a part of the miracles that continue to unfold all these years later. So thank you for sowing and praying and being a part of the miracles. Amen. I want you to know today that God has you on his mind. Amen. Aren't you glad about that? And you know when he's thinking about you, it's all good. Isn't that wonderful? Y'all, that's a good thing. He's not thinking about getting even with you for anything you've done. Amen. He's already forgiven you. Amen. He's already separated your sins from you as far as the east is from the west. And he remembers them no more. So what he's thinking about is how he can get more of his grace, more of his power into your life so that you can continue to be his ambassador. So this is all good. You know, one of the things I love about this church, too, is the generations. I think for a church to be a healthy church, it needs to be ministering effectively to at least three generations. Because God bound up his self-revelation in three generations. He says, I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And so he's a generational God. And so when I see a church that has the generations, I know that that is a healthy church that has a foundation that will last. And so I see a very healthy church here. So praise God. Amen. Amen. And that's not easy to do. You have to contend for it. You know, there's, some things that are going on in the church today where you have, you know, single generational churches. I've gone to a church that had like 8,000 people and they were all like 20, 30 something. It's like, where are the other folks at? And, you know, but those kind of churches grow faster. Because you've just got one generation and everybody's kind of like on that same point. And when you have multi-generations, it's a lot more difficult. But I tell you, it's a lot stronger because one generation will praise the next generation. And it causes a real strength. And I really believe that it causes the revelation of in God's heart and in Jesus, who is the foundation of the church. This is what he had in mind. He had in mind that all of us would be up in here together. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So we up in here together, amen, loving one another, and the Holy Spirit can speak to us in a language that we can all understand at the same time, and we can give glory to God, and we don't get hung up on the different kinds of styles of music and that kind of stuff, because we focus on the main thing, and the main thing is the anointing, the main thing is Jesus, the main thing is the Word of God, the main thing is the advancement of His kingdom. So if we major on the majors and not major on the minors, we'll be just fine. Amen. Hallelujah. Remember the woman who got the revelation of worship from Jesus at the well in John chapter 4? She's like, you know, you Jews say we worship on this mountain, or Samaritans say we worship on this mountain, so which mountain should we worship on? And Jesus said, it has nothing to do with a mountain, but those who worship in spirit and in truth, these are the ones that the Father is looking for. Amen. And so it doesn't matter what mountain we're on. You know, if you're on the rock mountain, or you're on the gospel mountain, or you're on whatever mountain of the style of worship, don't get hung up on that stuff. Just get up on the mountain as quick as you can and get in the presence of God so you can be transformed and renewed. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so I really appreciate what is happening in this church, and what the Lord is birthing here is very, very powerful. As I shared in the early service, that this is a church that God has birthed to be a prophetic mouthpiece to the body of Christ in this area and beyond. Don't get quiet on me now. But your pastors are prophetic, and they're raising up a prophetic church. You know, when Jesus gave the fivefold ministry gifts of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, the people who lead those churches have a particular grace, and we're going to talk about the unction, the function in just a minute. And, amen. God has given us the unction to function. That's my message this morning. But people who walk in an apostolic anointing, they raise up churches that have an apostolic thrust. People who have a prophetic call, they raise up churches that have a prophetic thrust. People who are evangelists and anointed to be evangelists, they raise up evangelistic churches. And pastoral churches raise up pastors and teachers and so forth. But when we have all of those ministry gifts working together in one place, there's a powerful explosion of God's grace that really brings the kingdom of God into fuller view. You know, we pray, Jesus taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Well, when we're all working together in unity, and God releases His gifts among the church, then there is a powerful expression that looks like heaven on earth. Amen. In other words, sickness has to go. We've been singing about it. Amen. Disease has to go. Addiction has to go. Hallelujah. Depression has to go. Hallelujah. Marriage problems got to go in the name of Jesus, because the kingdom of God is manifest among us. And so when God places a local church body in a community, He's looking at all the other pieces that are in the community too, because we're all part of the body of Christ and we're all connected. So every church in this community that is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ is part of the church in this community. And so this church has a prophetic thrust, and that's the part that God has given and the function that God has given for the church here. So as you embrace that and as you lean into that, you're going to find more and more of God's prophetic release in your life. Hello. See, without prophecy, the church don't have a future, because the word of God comes to light the way and to propel us into the future that God has for us. And so that's why we need prophetic ministry in the church, is so that the church will have a future. We'll know where we're going, we'll know how to get there, and we'll be led by the Spirit of God. And so lean into that. And I want you to know that God wants to release a stronger prophetic flow in your life individually and your family. Hallelujah. Because when the devil comes, he comes to try to steal the anointing. You know, he don't care if you're religious, but if you're going somewhere, that's when he starts opposing you. And so when the prophetic word of God comes, God is taking you somewhere. I would look at the plans of this church and what you're building here. You're going somewhere. Glory to God. Amen. And it's exciting to see where you're going. And so you will be able to do damage to the kingdom of darkness as you lean more fully into the purposes of God's grace in this hour. And so I just believe that God is going to release a greater flow of his power, his grace and anointing in your lives, in your family. Your family is about to transition to another level. Somebody better say amen. Hallelujah. There are some things that have been withheld that are about to be released to you. There are some promotions that have been held and reserved, and God is about to open the storehouse of his treasury and release it to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. I just believe that this is a season of release. This is a time of the fullness of God. And so get ready, expect it, look for it, and proclaim it, declare it, and begin to walk in it in the name of the Lord. And so praise God. I'm excited to see where you're going to be a year from now. It's going to be so, so glorious. The passage of scripture that we have today, 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 and 27, we're going to talk a little bit about this unction to function. Amen. I don't normally give titles to messages. I said in the first one, and now you see why, but because it may sound a little corny or whatever, but that's the way this one came out today, the unction to function. So go with me, will you? Amen. Verse 20, First John chapter 2. But you have an anointing or an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Verse 27. But the anointing or the unction which you have received from him abides in you, and we received it from him, that's Jesus. And you do not need that anyone teach you, but as that same anointing or unction teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. Hallelujah. How many people are abiding in Jesus? Amen. If we abide in him and his word abide in us, we can ask what we will and it will be done by our Father. That's what John wrote in John chapter 15. But this unction, the function, this anointing that God puts upon our lives is a grace to be able to walk in the supernatural. That's what the anointing is. The unction to function is a supernatural grace of God to do the works of the kingdom and to live life to the full. Okay? Say with me, it's supernatural. Amen. If we take the supernatural out of the gospel proclamation, if we take the supernatural out of the church, it is not the church that Jesus built and the church that Jesus is building, because his church is a supernatural church. So miracles are what we should see on a regular basis. Amen. So every day you should expect a miracle. Why? Because you're walking in the Holy Spirit. You're walking in the miracle working power of the Lord Jesus Christ. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that will quicken us, hallelujah, and give us the ability to walk in God's grace in this hour. Amen. Are there any supernatural folks in the house? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you have to proclaim it. You have to renew your mind to this. Romans chapter 12 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind so that we will be able to prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. And so our minds have to be renewed because, as Pastor Tamara was encouraging us and exhorting us in the first service, there are so many distractions. Hello. There are so many things that distract us and try to pull us out of the grace of God, try to pull us out of the anointing, and get us relying on our own strength, our own ability. And when we live like that, we miss out on the miracles of God's grace. Amen. And so we're being renewed this morning because we're hearing this word that says there is an abiding unction, there's an abiding anointing that is upon our lives that quickens us to know how to live, to know how to be a good husband, to know how to be a good wife, to know how to be a good employer, to know how to be a good employee, how to start a business, how to move into the greater plan and the purpose, how to be a pastor, how to lead, how to be the person that God has called us to be. We're able to move into that because of the anointing. Hallelujah. Amen. So the anointing is not just so that we can do spiritual calisthenics when we come to church. Amen. Hallelujah. the anointing is so when I get up in the morning, I don't lose my mind on the 405. Glory to God. I need an anointing. Y'all better help me up in here. Amen. Hallelujah. You need an anointing when you're standing in queue in a long line at the grocery store. Oh, help me, Jesus. Oh, I need to be ready to witness to somebody instead of getting angry because the line is not moving too long, too fast. And we won't even get on the DMV, but praise God. Oh, hallelujah. I need an anointing so that I can be ready to function when the Holy Ghost drops something on me. Amen. And so there are divine appointments that God has given us all the time. And if we're so distracted with the spirit of this age and the spirit of this world, we will not be in touch with our unction. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I came to give you life and life more abundant. The enemy always wants to steal your joy. He wants to try to steal your anointing. And so you have to guard the anointing on your life. You have to protect that anointing. And you have to walk in the fullness of what God has for you. Because these days are evil. But I want you to know God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And when the Holy Spirit comes on you, don't be afraid to obey and to step into what he says. Because when that unction is quickened, you start getting that sense that God wants you to say something or do something for him. Don't ignore that. Don't suppress that. Don't push it to the side. Don't quench it. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, he says, do not quench the Holy Spirit. He told Timothy to stir up the gift that was in him in 2 Timothy 1. He says, stir up the gift of God that you've received. And so when we were born again by the Spirit of God. And now if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you've been filled up with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now it's time for us to activate that and begin to walk in the fullness of our identity and our purpose. Amen. I was sharing this morning in the first service that your anointing matches your identity. So if you don't know who you are, you won't be able to access God's anointing on your life. How do you think Elijah was able to step out and call down fire from heaven? Because as the prophet of God, he already had seen it before it happened. So he says, I'm going to call down and fire is going to come down here and do this. Well, where did you get that from? What Bible college did you learn that in? He didn't learn that in the Bible college. He learned that by walking in the anointing and walking in the Holy Spirit. And as a man of prayer, he'd already seen the fire coming down from heaven. And so it didn't matter what the prophets of Baal did all day long and all night long, because he had already seen that when he stepped out and he began to pray, the fire was going to come, because he'd already seen it in the Spirit. And when you're a prophetic person, you are a seer. God gives you the ability to see. He says, I'll pour out my spirit in the last days, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your old men will dream dreams, and young men will have visions. Amen. So we need to be able to see. The prophetic ministry is the eyes of the church to be able to see where we're going and to see the hope of our calling. Paul always talks about the hope of your calling. If you can't see the hope of your calling, you'll jump out of this thing prematurely, and you will not persevere and receive the fullness of what God has for you. Amen. I think about the widow in Luke 18. You know, she had this unjust judge that she was going for to get justice for her cause. I always imagine that as being justice for your city, for your family. And you're praying and you're interceding and as an intercessor and you're standing and it seems like things are not moving fast enough. If you're not able to see beyond what is before you, you will stop short of the miracle that God has for you. Amen. And so we have to persevere and we have to pray, because we don't even know how to pray. Romans 8, 26 says, you don't even know how to pray. Hello. But the Holy Spirit does. He says, but the Holy Spirit searches the heart of God, the deep hidden things of God. And he prays through us with groanings and utters that cannot be in articulate speech. In other words, the Holy Spirit will begin to download to you how you are to pray. He'll begin to download to you how to love your wife. He'll begin to download to you how to love your children when they are rebellious. He'll begin to download to you how to live a life of purpose, destiny, and dignity. And then you're able to access the anointing of God's grace and walk fully in his power and his authority and his wisdom. Hallelujah. Glory to God. John the Baptist was baptizing people in the Jordan, and they sent some religious leaders out to ask him, "So who are you? Are you the Messiah?" What did he say? No. "Are you Elijah?" What did he say? No. He says, "Are you that prophet?" No. "Well, who are you?" He says, "I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the pathways of the Lord.'" Three times he had to say who he wasn't before he could say who he was. Your anointing matches your identity, and you have to stop bonding to false identities so that you are able to access God's grace. Hallelujah. So who are you? I'm a child of the King. Who are you? I'm God's ambassador. Who are you? I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Who are you? I'm a child of the King. I'm born again. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. I'm victorious. I'm an overcomer. No. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who loved me. Amen. When you start bonding to that identity, God's unction and anointing gets stirred on the inside and begin to work on the outside, and oh, everything begins to change. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. We need an unction to function. Hallelujah. You're not going to get it from the TV. You're not going to get it from a movie. You're not going to get it from a good book unless it's the good book. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So you need to get your identity from what God says about you so that you're able to walk in the fullness of God's grace in this hour. Hallelujah. Because the Holy Spirit, he'll drop on you at just the most unusual times. But if you're not available, he'll just pass on by until he finds someone else. The eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the earth. He's looking for someone that he can show himself mighty and strong on behalf of. I was praying one day and I said, "Lord, why you got to roam so far to and fro throughout the earth?" Because he says, most people are not listening. The eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the earth looking for someone that he can show himself strong and mighty on behalf of. Why does he have to keep looking? Because we're so distracted. We're so closed off. We're so locked into the spirit of this age and the spirit of this world that we're not in tune with heaven and the kingdom and God's dynamic and what's on his agenda. But I want you to know that can change. Amen. If we become worshipers of the King, because worship causes us to be able to access the fullness of God's glory on our lives. Amen. It's in the secret place, in that abiding place, that we learn to worship. It is in the abiding place with Jesus that we're empowered to witness. It is in the abiding place with Jesus that we're commissioned to serve and we're prepared to go on mission for him. Hallelujah. I'll be going to Lebanon in November, to Beirut, and ministering there. Among the Syrian refugees there's a ministry there that has invited me to come and pray for people there. So I'm looking forward to going there. And also we have a teen challenge that just started in Beirut, and I'll be ministering at the Teen Challenge Center in Beirut. But God is doing some amazing things around the world. But I was in Romania last year, and I was walking through the parliament. They have their parliament building is the second largest building in the world behind the Pentagon. And so there were some folks there that were giving me a behind-the-scenes tour of their parliament building. And I'm walking through, and they took me into the judiciary committee where they make laws for the country. And they were in session, and so they interrupted. I was like, I couldn't believe they were interrupting, but they interrupted, and they wanted to introduce me to the chairman of the judiciary committee. And so I greeted them, and when I saw the woman who was in charge, the Spirit of God came on me, and he said, I want you to speak to her. And I'm like, okay, I'm in the parliament. I'm up in the parliament, you know. But the unction, the function came on. And so I said, "Sister, do you mind if I pray for you? I have a word for you from the Lord." She said, "Yeah, sure." And I was like, "Okay." And so I began to pray. I just began to share what God showed me concerning her life, and she began to weep. And that, you know, God gave her word that he had placed her there for such a time as this so that righteous laws would be made, so that the nation would be able to stay on track to really manifest the kingdom of God and be a leader in that region. And it would have implications for the church and what God wants to do there. And she was very open to it. She said, "I was just thinking the other day, why do I have this job? She said, I don't know how I got here, but I'm here. And she said, I was just thinking and I was praying and I asked God, why do I have this job? And she said, you just showed me why I have this job. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The unction to function. The unction to function is the anointing of the Holy Spirit, which is God's supernatural enablement and supernatural grace to do what you could never do on your own. So when you find yourself in an impossible situation and you're like, Lord, I don't know what to do in this situation. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what to do. Then just begin to say, Holy Spirit, thank you that you are upon me. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would come and he would lead and guide us into all truth. Amen. And so the Holy Spirit is in you. If you're born again, you're born again of the Holy Spirit. And so he will lead you and he will guide you and he will begin to show you what the Father has for you to do. Ephesians says, chapter 2, verse 10 says, we are his workmanship and we are created in Christ Jesus for what kind of works? What kind of works? Amen. God's desire is to manifest his kingdom in the earth. In Romans 14, 17, it says that the kingdom of God is not in meat or eating and drinking or the things of this world, but the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And that's what is on God's mind. That is what is on his agenda. When Jesus came, he came preaching the kingdom. When John the Baptist came, he came repent, for the kingdom was at hand. So everything about our lives have to change in order to accommodate God's purpose. That's why repentance is not just a one-time thing when you repent of your sins and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins and come in so, you know, the old can go and the new can come. But every time that you get an understanding from God's word, you have to have a change of heart, a change of mind, and a change of direction because you want what God wants. Do you want what God wants? Amen. Then the avenue to get there is through repentance. It's saying, Lord, I let go of my preconceived notion. I let go of my preconceived religious thinking. Whatever it is that's hindering and limiting you, I release that so that I can receive the fullness of the revelation that you have that is unfettered and not hindered by anything so that I can be an authentic ambassador for the kingdom of God. Amen. Let that be your prayer. I call that living the repentant lifestyle. So the repentant lifestyle is not always repenting of some overt sin you committed, but it's when the Holy Spirit begins to transform your mind and your thinking so you can prove what is the acceptable and perfect will of God, that you have to align the character of your heart and you have to align your decisions and you have to align your life to what God is saying is true. Amen. And so there are always deeper revelations of truth that the Holy Spirit brings us to. The Holy Spirit will guide us into how much truth? How much? Amen. Do you know all truth? No. So we need to be led into it. So Holy Spirit, lead me into it. Amen. I know the Bible says we have the mind of Christ, but I want you to know our mind has to be trained. It has to be disciplined. It has to be guided. It has to be led. And so the Holy Spirit has to lead us into the truth that God has about his kingdom, about the world, about our lives, and what our part is in bringing his kingdom into this world. Amen. Hallelujah. So when Jesus taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that is literally an invitation for you to set yourself in agreement with the flow of the anointing and the unction of the Holy Spirit in your life so that you can bring into the earth realm the things that God has ordained for you to bring into the earth realm from his kingdom. Amen. Say with me, I have a kingdom assignment. And I want to embrace everything that God has for me. Amen. And so it's not about consuming. We don't come and gather together to consume religion or to consume the gospel. But the gospel comes and it should consume us. Amen. Hallelujah. Because he says that he makes his ministers a flame of fire. God is a consuming fire. So instead of us becoming consumers of religion, God wants to fill us up with his fire so that we are going out and we're bringing the fire of his glory to the earth. Hallelujah. Come on, spirit of Elijah, rise up on the inside. Hallelujah. He's still the God who answers by fire. He's still able to change the impossible and make it possible. With men, all of these things are impossible. But when God comes, when the unction comes, when the Holy Ghost comes, all the limitation has to move out of the way. And God moves us into the unlimited resource and the unlimited power of who he is. Amen. You know, God's plan is to use the church. Amen. Sometimes, you know, I remember years ago, I said, now, God, are you sure about this? Do you know us? We are so easily distracted. Hello? You sure you don't want to use another method? No. His revelation is complete. Okay. And it is God's desire and his plan to use the church. He uses people just like you and me to do his impossible, miraculous work in the earth. I'm so glad that God wants to use me. That's still kind of, I can't get my mind around that one because I know our tendency is to wander. We're like sheep. Hello? Any sheep in the house? Okay. We tend to be like those sheep, but I want you to know that in the midst of that, the Holy Spirit puts a governor on our heart and he's able to pull us back from the edge of the cliff when we're about to wander over the side and causes us to be constrained by his love to do the impossible things that we can't even imagine or dream. He says he causes us to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or dream according to the power that what? Works in us. See, he works in us. This amazing grace, this amazing power, this amazing unction, hallelujah, to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Isn't that wonderful? So, Lord, let the work happen on the inside. We used to sing an old song years ago, Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in me. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in me. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in me. Oh, what a great, great change. Yeah. Oh, what a great, great change. Amen. Hallelujah. What a great change. What a great change. It's a great change. It's a divine exchange. Hallelujah. Where he took all of my brokenness and he gave me his wholeness. When he took all my confusion and he gave me his peace. When he took all of my loneliness and he put me in a family. Hallelujah. When he took all of my sadness and he gave me joy. Oh, what a great, great change he has worked inside of me. That's the God we serve. Oh, what a great change. Oh, what a great change. And I want you to know that he's working that change on the inside of you. You say, well, you don't know what I'm facing in my family. You don't know what I'm facing on my job. You don't know what I'm facing in my mind. You don't know what challenges I'm facing. No, I don't. But I want you to know that Jesus is still taking care of issues, just like he took care of the issues of blood with the woman. And he will handle your issues. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that today? Hallelujah. You have an unction to function. And it's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the supernatural grace of God. It's yours. It's available. It's in you. It's on you. It's around you. It's upon you. It's through you. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, brother. You start doing that, we won't get out of here today. But that's all right, though. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I get to preaching up in here, and amen. We'll be having lunch up in here. No. Amen. Listen, I love you, my brothers and sisters. You know, I remember, you know, I love the church in all of its expressions. And I know that that is God's grace and his method and his way to bring his kingdom into the earth is through the church. And so when I look at you and I see the glory of God, God's power is so strong upon your life. It's so much more than you can see right now. But he's going to begin to open your eyes in this coming season so that you will see the hope of your calling in him. I remember about 3 years ago, we helped start the Teen Challenge in Slovenia. It's one of the countries in the Balkan area that was part of Yugoslavia. And we have a wonderful couple there, a former police officer, married a heroin addict. And they gave birth to Teen Challenge. That's what they say. But when he was a police officer, he was dating her. He didn't know that she was a heroin addict. But he found out later God delivered her, set her completely free. God called the two of them to start Teen Challenge in that nation. He resigned from the police department, and the two of them went forth and started the ministry of Teen Challenge. And so Teen Challenge Southern California, we embraced them, and we've been helping them over the years. And I've been talking to him for years. I said, I really believe that God wants you to start a church because there are very few churches in Slovenia. It has 0.07% born-again Christians there. I mean, it's like minuscule. I think there's like maybe about 1,000 people that are born again in the whole country of 2 million. And I told him, I said, the work that you are doing with Teen Challenge is powerful, but they have a small center, has about 15 guys in it, and they're doing some work there, and it's powerful what's happening. They're transforming people's lives. But I said, I really believe God wants you to start a church because there's no church in your region. They had to drive for an hour to take their students to get to a church because there was no church in the region where the Teen Challenge was. And he's like, well, I'm more of an evangelist. I don't know if I can start a church. I said, well, I just sense that's what the Lord wants you to do. And so he was kind of resistant. Hallelujah. I don't blame him because he had his hands full. He was quite busy with the work of the kingdom. But one night the Holy Spirit woke me up and he said, I want you to call him. I have a word from him. So I called him up. It was the middle of the night here, but it was like in the afternoon there. And I said, hey, brother, I said, God told me to call you. I have a word for you from the Lord. He said, okay, what's the word? I said, I don't know yet. Because he just told me to call, so I just obeyed right away, picked up the phone and called the guy. And I said, I don't know yet, but I said, let's wait a minute, it'll come. And so we were just talking on the phone, and all of a sudden, I started praying. I said, well, let's pray. I said, you know, let's pray. And I started praying. And I started praying in a language. And I knew it was a language, but I didn't know the language. A known language, you know, like you're not an unknown tongue, but the known language. And so all of a sudden on the other end of the phone, I hear him going, oh, thank you, my father. Oh, father, yes, I'll do it, father. And I was like, this guy never called me father before. I was like, And I said, Matias, why are you calling me father? He said, I'm not calling you father. He said, I know you don't know my language. I don't know any Slovenian. I can't even say hello in Slovenian. He said, you just spoke perfect Slovenian when you prayed. And in the prayer, it said, why are you hesitating? Why are you halting between two opinions? I want you to start the church. You've already heard from me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He started that church 3 years ago. It is now one of the fastest growing churches in their country. Unction to function. That's what God wants us to get in touch with. You already got it. I didn't say you got to get it. You already have it. He says you have the unction. He didn't say if you go pray and fast 40 days, you'll get it. He says you have an unction from the Holy One, and he will teach you all things. You already have him. Commune with him. Fellowship with him, and he will release his goodness through your life in every area. Father, thank you. Thank you for your blessed people. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the prophetic anointing that rests upon this house. Lord, I thank you for the pastors who have labored long, and they are obedient servants of the Lord. Continue to guide them and direct them as they lay a solid foundation so that this church, God, will be able to release. Pastor, I believe that you're going to plant a number of churches. Many churches will be planted from here, and they will have a prophetic edge to them, and these churches will, you will grow, and this church will send out elders, and you will plant churches in different communities, and it will be an expression of the glory of God that will transform communities and nations. Father, thank you for what you have purposed for this place and for what you have purposed individually for the lives of your people. Holy Spirit, move in us. Holy Spirit, live in us. Holy Spirit, breathe and speak through us. Let your unction, your anointing rest upon us. And Lord, may we not be distracted, but be filled with a passion to be transformed and to walk in the fullness of our identity. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.
That is so awesome. I have so much I'm trying to hold on to right now, so please bear with me. My morning began this morning with the Lord speaking to me about speaking to you, about the fact that many times we allow other things to get in God's place. So God says that he is to be first. And he said this morning, he said, you know, life happens and stuff happens and things that pull at us. You know what? Whether they're good stuff or whether they're just life happening or temptations, we want to do this and we want to do that. But things pull at us and they take God, because we allow it, they take God out of his place of being first in our life. And he said, I will not relinquish that positioning. I must be first. It's not optional. That's what he wants. And he'll never change his mind that that's what's required. That is what's required. All of us, I'm sure, at one time or another, have allowed things to pull at us, and God gets out of placement in our life. And he said this morning to me, tell the church, put me back in the place where I belong. It's not optional. I won't take second place. I must be first. So as Pastor Brown was just sharing this morning, and I shared that in prayer and in the first service, but you said that you were, as you were talking about Elijah, and I was thinking about all the things that Elijah did. Powerful. Powerful stuff. And it's interesting because King Ahab, his wife Jezebel at the time, she encouraged God's people. She didn't have a problem with them worshiping Yahweh. That's our God. You got that? We're God's people. Just like the Israelites were God's people. It's okay. You can worship Yahweh. Just worship Baal too. And she mixed the Baals in with Yahweh for God's people. And God was not in his place then. He's not sharing his place either. Amen. So as that was taking place and Elijah comes, believe it or not, I'm not talking about Elijah, I'm talking about you. So stay with me here, okay? Because I feel like I'm holding on to all of this and I don't want to drop any of it. So as Elijah comes, sent by God, with a vision by God, knowing exactly what he's going to do, in power, in confidence. Remember he says to them, well, is your God sleeping? You know, why don't you throw some more water on there? I mean, he's confident. He didn't go down there with fear and trembling. Do you understand that? He went down there with power and authority and knowing what he was going to do. But then he does it all and God shows up, right? It's powerful. And he wipes out all of Jezebel's prophets. And then look at how powerful. Let me just listen to me. Fear is a power. Do you understand that? And through a messenger that was sent by Jezebel to him, the messenger comes and tells him, gives him a message from Jezebel. You are done. You understand that? I'm going to kill you. And you know what? May I be dead too if I don't take care of this before whatever her time frame was, you know, before the morning rises or whatever her thing was, okay? And then this powerful man of God experiencing how mightily he and God can work together. Fear takes over. How'd the fear take over? Words. Words were spoken over him. A different identity than the identity that God had given him. And the enemy is forever trying to form our identity. Pastor Ron said in the morning service that your anointing will follow your identity. Look at in Elijah. His anointing was out the window. You know what? Why? Because his identity went out the window. And the same is true for us. We need to not allow no circumstance, no voice to speak to us where we're going and what we're doing, except for God. And it's very hard for us to conceive God's decision to partner with us in such a mighty way. But it's the truth. It is his decision. Now it's our decision. Do we cast down the thoughts? Do we cast down the words that exalt themselves above what God has said? Because to move in the unction of God, to move for God, these things exalt themselves above our identity in God, and they'll stop us. The fear that comes on every one of us as we begin to step into what God has asked of us, a simple thing, I was sharing with the morning service, a simple thing, the Spirit of God spoke to me this week at a gas station and told me, go ask that gentleman if he's out of work and looking for work. Simple, right? It's not a big deal, right? Why are we making a big deal? I'm sitting there thinking, no, I don't think so. Lord, I don't know, Lord. He's going to think this and he's going to think that. That's going to be kind of weird. And then I got in the car with my daughter and I said, you know, the Holy Spirit's telling me to do this. Is that kind of weird? She says, that's weird. I said, okay. And much like with Pastor Drew, then the Holy Spirit's like, okay, now what you going to do? And I just said, well, I'm just going to do it anyway. You know what I mean? Because I know that's what God's telling me to do. Can I just ask you, what's the worst that could happen? I'm just going to ask him a question. Simple, right? But what God wants is he wants to give an unction and then he just wants me to obey. Just do it. You know what? Don't worry about it. And even if he would have, but you know what he said? yes, I am totally looking for a job. I said, okay, I'm going to pull over because I was all clogging up the gas thing. I said, I'm going to pull over. Just come on over here and talk to me. God's got messengers too. Amen. God's got messengers too. This is how it works. This is how it works. So whose messenger are you going to be? And you're going to have to fight fear and cast it down to be God's messenger. So wake up in the morning, get ready to take on fear. Get ready to hear that unction and say, God, what do you want to do with me today? What are we going to do together as your ambassador? Because the way he works is through people. And you're the people. Put them first place. Don't let them water things down. Just like that, if it's all watered down, we don't have a real clarity. That makes us even more fearful. Keep God first place. And just get ready to be dispatched as his ambassador. And just do what he asks you to do. Do what he asks you to do. Honey?
Yeah. This guy, I talked to him later on, the same guy later on this in the afternoon, or just not too much later in the morning. And this guy was, you know what? He was just blown away. You really minister to him at a level that, you know what? And we don't, I think Pastor Ron said it, you know, you might just smile at somebody or say, hey, how you doing today? You just have no idea the functioning that he wants. And what God wants is he wants all these secret agents just planted all, you know, the library and the grocery store and all over the place. And so I just encourage you today, you know what, if you feel like, man, I just want to step out in faith. I feel the message just walling up inside me, and I just want to step out in faith. I'm going to be different this week. I'm going to be different this month. I'm going to be different this year. I just want to step out there and be God's ambassador. I know that's what he's called me to be, but you know what? Just because you're called there doesn't mean you walk in there. Paul says, you know what? You live in the Spirit, therefore walk in the Spirit. So he's talking about how are you going to function? If that's you, if this message is meant, spoken to you, you know what? And you just want to be that person that just says in the morning, God, I will say whatever you have me say, do whatever you have me to do. I remember standing here just wrestling, and I've done this many times now with a message. Wednesday, very, very confrontive message. You know what I mean? Not like, you know, hey, buddy, what's up? You know, not like that. It's like, hey, sit up front, bring your Bibles, and that's what you're supposed to do. So grow up, people. You know, that kind of message. It's like, yeah, I don't want to say that. You know, that's not fun. But I remember years ago, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, listen, this is going to sound harsh. But the Holy Spirit has a way of sometimes needing to be harsh with us. And he said, Drew, you are a pastor. You are my messenger to the people. If you don't speak my message, I have no need of you. Now, I'm not talking about it relationally, but positionally, that's my position. You know what I mean? You ever had a pizza guy come to your house? Ooh, you know what I mean? You get all happy. Let me get happy when the pizza guy comes. Why do you get happy when the pizza guy comes? Because he has a pizza. You know what I mean? You know, oh, the pizza guy's here. What's he got? Oh, he don't got nothing, but he's here. So what? God is speaking to us and saying, you are my messenger. Yeah, but I haven't got a Bible. It doesn't make any difference. You're my messenger to your kids, your grandkids, people around you. Pastor Drew's not there, but you're there. If that is you, I want you to raise your hand. I'm going to pray with you all over the room. Raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's what I hear God saying. Say this with me. God, I will be obedient to you. I want to be your messenger. I want to be used by you. So when you stir me up, when you give me the words, I commit right now that I will say them. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And then we're gonna dismiss you in a minute, I promise. But before we dismiss, I don't want to not give you an opportunity. Maybe you're here and you just want to come into the family of God. I'm gonna pray a short prayer. I want you to pray it with me. And all we're going to do is ask Jesus to come in our heart. You say, yeah, but I got to get my act together first. No. Here's what happens. Ask Jesus in your heart, and he'll change you from the inside out. We're going to ask Jesus to become our decision maker. We're going to step back from the wheel, and we're going to let him drive. If you want to do that, you know what? Just pray this after me. Father in heaven, I want to make Jesus my decision maker, my ruler, my Lord. Jesus, come in my heart. Change me from the inside out. I love you. I thank you for everything you've done for me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now listen. Amen. 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 If you prayed that prayer, we believe that Jesus came in your heart right now. And we believe that he'll start changing you from the inside out. Find a good Bible-believing church. Okay, let me think of one. Oh, yeah, this one. And I know I'm tainted, but I'd love if you would make us your pastors. If you would start coming here, I encourage you not only come Sunday, but I encourage you to come Wednesday. And I would say, give us a year and let us mentor you. Let us pastor you. And in a year, you know what? Let's look back, and I guarantee you, you will have a radical change in your life. We are so proud of you. We're so proud of all of you. Father, I speak a blessing over all these people. I call them blessed. I call them healed. I call them delivered. I say that today is the first day of the rest of your life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.